For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Faith is the victory. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like a battle cry. Faith is the victory. Something that we can wrap our minds around. Something that can be on our lips and on our tongues that we can shout in the face of our enemy and the battle. We need to understand that faith is the victory. And with that understanding, we need to recognize what that faith is and what the victory is. I would just like for us to spend a few moments today talking about that. Tonight, we're going to be kind of overlapping a little bit, kind of looking at another side of this. Faith is the victory, but only if it's a victorious faith. But this morning, let's just consider this cry and what we can learn from this. Faith is the victory. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty and glorious Father in heaven, we love you and praise you and lift you up because you are magnificent and awesome. You are the great God. You are the overcomer. You are the victor. You are our King and our Lord. And we are humbled that you allow us to gather here together in your presence among your children, that we can bring honor and glory to you, worshiping you, lifting you up. We praise you and magnify you, and we ask that you would help build within us victorious faith, that we might be victors alongside of you in the battle that we face. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the word that you have given that builds our faith. Help us to be in it, to know it, to love it, to live it. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be with one another, to encourage one another in faith, that we might stand so close together that none of us would ever fall down. We long for you, Father, and we pray that you continue to be with this congregation. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Faith is the victory. But in understanding that faith is the victory, the first thing we have to recognize is that we really are in a battle. There is a fight that is going on around us. Paul, in his epistles to Timothy, twice comments on what life in Christ is like. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he talks about his own life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We understand and need to understand that as we're walking through this life, we're not just going on a stroll. We are in a battle. We are participating in a fight. And faith is what gives us the victory. In Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, those that Jesus had commissioned to go out, in the ESV they say 72, returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. But listen specifically to what Jesus says in response. This is Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What Jesus is demonstrating there is that the acts of these whom he had commissioned to go out and do his work of spreading his gospel, that there was something going on behind the scenes. They couldn't see Satan falling from heaven like lightning, but Jesus, because he could see that battle behind the scenes, he could see that happening. He knew that there was something more than just what could be seen here. He understood that there was a battle that was going on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning at verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Paul writes this. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. He said that we are, though not waging war according to the flesh, we are waging war. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we are in a battle. A battle for our very souls. And in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, Paul again writing says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." There is a battle taking place, and we are in the middle of it. It is going on all around us with cosmic powers, with heavenly authorities. We may not be able to see it with our physical eyes, but we need to understand it in our spirits. I think there is one wonderful passage that might be often overlooked that demonstrates the cosmic battle that is taking place around us behind the scenes. Look back in the Old Testament prophet of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to begin in verse 10 in Daniel chapter 10. Understand that what had happened, Judah had been taken captive. And Daniel had read the prophets about if they prayed, they would be delivered. And so now it's been 70 years in fulfillment of Jeremiah. And Daniel prays. And at the end of his prayer, here's what happens. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. "Behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Start paying attention here. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the king of Persia and came to make you understand what it is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is yet to come." He goes on, "When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. Then behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said to him who stood before me, 'O Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me and no breath is left in me.' Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, 'O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage.' And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and he said, 'Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me.' Then he said, 'Do you know why I've come to you? But now I will return to the fight against the prince of Persia. Then when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince." Now, as far as the prophetic message here, we could spend hours, perhaps weeks, just trying to unpack the prophecy. We're not going to look at that this morning. I just want you to pick up on this idea of this angelic messenger that's come to Daniel, talking about withstanding the prince of Persia. He said for 21 days he had been withstanding the prince of Persia. And now he's come. And Michael, one of the chief princes, had been withstanding with him. And now he's come to Daniel and he's going to tell him what's going to happen to his people. But he needs to understand that the prince of Greece is going to come. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe that what Daniel is recording is an angelic being fighting against the literal, physical, earthly king of Persia and then the earthly prince of Greece. What Daniel is seeing here and what we are getting a glimpse of is that the events that were taking place in the world that Daniel was a part of, that his prayer was a part of, was a greater battle that is going on behind the scenes. There are angelic hosts and armies. And there was that messenger, that prince of Persia, prince of Greece. And this was a battle that was taking place between good and evil. And Daniel's prayer was a part of that. I'm not sure I fully understand it. I'm not sure that I can explain to you how it works. In fact, I'm pretty sure I can't explain to you how it works. But what I can see is the glimpse behind the curtain as God pulls it back and lets us see just a little bit that says the things that we're doing in this life are about more than just this life. Your prayers are about more than just what's going on here. There is a battle going on and we are in the middle of it. And though our physical eyes can't see it, and though God does not always pull the curtain back, we need to know it's happening. And we're part of it. We may not be able to see the advance of infantry, armory, and cavalry, but we need to see the advance of heathenism and hedonism and paganism. We may not be able to see bombed and burned out buildings, but we need to see the broken and battered homes left by the attack of Satan. We may not be able to see mobile and surgical hospitals filled with the wounded, but we need to be able to see those who have been impacted by attacks of the devil. We may not be able to see prisoners of war caught in camps of torture, but we need to be able to see those who are held captive by false teaching and cults. We are in a war. A battle is taking place. And faith is the victory. But when we consider that idea, when we consider that faith will bring us victory, we need to understand what faith will bring us victory. Perhaps one of the best explanations I have ever heard of the faith that will bring victory is recognizing three levels of faith, if you will. I'd like to share those with you very quickly. Three levels of faith. The first level is a level of conviction. A level that gives assent to certain facts. That says, I agree with these facts, with these teachings, with these doctrines. At the end of the book of John, in John chapter 20, John explains why he wrote this gospel. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, it says, Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He's talking here about a mental assent to some facts. That there are some facts about Jesus Christ that he has written down so that we can know who he is. We might call this conviction a faith of the head. A faith that assents to the truth of some doctrines, of some statements. We need to have this faith if we want to have the victory. But if we stop here, if all we do is give mental assent to some facts, we're not going to have the victory. In fact, James chapter 2 and verse 19. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Even the demons believe and shudder. They had mental assent to some facts. They had a head faith. They had a conviction about some doctrinal statements. But they did not have the victory. We take it to the next level. And it moves from the head to the heart. And it becomes a faith of trust. Trusting that God's way is right and our way is not right. That really this is what we should do. This is a magnificent part of our faith because it's the transition. It's kind of the swing. It kind of moves us. It takes us away just from mentally assenting to some things and starts us on the journey to having full victorious faith. But if all we have here is just this kind of heart trust that yes, I really believe that God's way is better. we're still not going to have the victory. In fact, we have, I think, an example of this in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." They had an assent. They even recognized that Jesus was this person that he said he was. But they couldn't quite swing all the way to living according to that trust. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33 tells us what happens to those who can't move from trust to actually living in it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, it says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." It has to go beyond merely the conviction and merely the trust to a third level of faith, and we'll call that a level of surrender. A level that says it's no longer just mental, it's no longer just internal, but it comes to the outside. It bubbles up to the surface because having believed and having trusted, I have decided to entrust my life and do what he says. And I'm going to call this a faith of the hand. A faith that says it's not just about what I think, it's not just about what I feel, but it's about what I do. A faith that proceeds from inside and comes to the outside. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we see this faith. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Living by faith. Believing in Jesus so much that my life is conducted as if he is the one that is living this life. Convicted, trusting, surrendering. In James chapter 2, which is where we're going to spend most of our time tonight, but let's briefly go there now. In James chapter 2, verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." What is James pointing out? James is pointing out that faith is completed by surrendered action. We do not have victorious faith until it comes outside in our behavior. If we want the victory, and faith is the victory, we must progress from conviction to trust to surrender. That is where the victory is. And as we consider this, it's good for us to understand that faith will bring us victory. But if we're not careful, we can shout that and that can be our battle cry, but it can be like sending a bunch of soldiers that have been recruited but not trained out onto the battlefield. So we need to think for just a moment about training and equipping. If faith is the victory, how can we be trained and equipped in faith? We recognize as we consider this takeaway, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In our connection card, you've got a next step. Whether you're a guest or a member, one of the things that you can fill out, I'm going to apply something I heard in today's sermon. And then what am I applying? I want to encourage you, if you want something to apply from this sermon, remember what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Mark that down. Put it in the collection plate when it comes later. Here's the application. I'm going to spend time in God's Word. More than just on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night. More than just getting prepared for Bible classes. I am going to be inside God's Word. I'm going to let God's Word fill me, because that is how we are trained for the battle. That is how we are equipped for the battle. Let me ask you, do you find yourself again and again coming out onto the battlefield and being defeated? As you come into God's presence tonight in your evening prayers, do you constantly have to say, God, I didn't represent on the battlefield today? If that's where you are again and again and again, I want to encourage you, get in the Word. Your Word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Get in the Word. Get the Word in you. Go back to that passage in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, as it talked about our battle. And notice what it said about the armor that we need to put on. In verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Think about this armor for just a moment. Where does this armor come from? Oh, we recognize the sword is the Word of God. And we understand the connection between our offensive weapon and God's Word. But have you thought about the rest of this armor as it talks about the belt of truth? Do you remember John 17, 17? Sanctify them by truth. Your Word is truth. As it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. Where does the breastplate of righteousness come from? It comes from being in the Word. Notice it talks about having our feet shod with the blessed gospel of peace. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, it talked about the Colossians who had heard the gospel, which was the Word of God. Where do we find the gospel? In God's Word. We've got the shield of faith. We've already read Romans 10, 17. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And finally, the helmet of salvation. There in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul reminds Timothy to get back into the sacred scriptures that are able to make him wise unto salvation. Here's the application. Here's the takeaway. If you want to grow in faith so that you can be victorious, it's not just about coming to church. It's about being in His Word. This is not a homework assignment. This is a lifeline. Our armor is in this. As we get this inside our hearts and our minds and we surrender our will to it, we're putting the armor on and we're withstanding in the battle. What's the takeaway? Be in God's Word. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. That is our battle cry. Can you say it with me? Faith is the victory. Where's your faith? You're going to be using a songbook this morning. Would you pull that out now, please? I didn't get the number from you, Peter. What was it? 8:51. 8:51. If you don't want to use the songbook, it'll be up on the screen behind me. I'll fly away. Faith is the victory. Where is your faith? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you convicted that Jesus is the Christ? Do you trust Jesus and what He teaches? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Surrender your life to Him. Turn it over. If we can help you with that this morning, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?